You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
The eyes of college football are on Fayetteville this weekend. Had been that way in quite some time. Arkansas and Texas Saturday night, Razorback Stadium. 6 o'clock kickoff, ESPN will broadcast. You've got a couple of college football pregame shows in town. It's not the biggest game nationally, but it's certainly one of the three or four that really bears watching, especially given the fact that Texas is joining the SEC, that Arkansas has got a full house for the first time in 4 or 5 years. A really interesting game between the Razorbacks and the Longhorns this weekend. Matt Jones joining you. Scotty Bordelon will be along in just a moment. But first, we're going to start this podcast with an interview. Craig Way is the play-by-play voice of the Texas Longhorns, does a great job calling their football, basketball, and baseball games, and he joins us now on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Craig, we appreciate your time.
Glad to be on with you, Matt. How you doing?
Hey, doing all right. You've been to Fayetteville before for these Arkansas-Texas games, so I'm sure you know what to expect as far as intensity and environment and whatnot. What are your thoughts as you head into this game and Texas coming into what should be a really great crowd on Saturday night?
Well, you know, as far as the intensity and memories of that go, I can tell you this, going back as little as I was, the first college football game, my first real memory of a college football game was the 69 shootout, Texas Arkansas. I remember seeing that growing up in North Carolina on my living room floor and was just riveted to the football game. So ever since then, you know, I always was kind of dialed into what was going on with Texas and Arkansas during those years in the games. But as you know, and then eventually moving to Texas and going to college in Texas, and then eventually transition into broadcasting for the University of Texas. It was never lost on me how exciting it was, those games, how intense those games were. I vividly remember what the game was like in 04, the last time Texas was up there, and how alive and vibrant the crowd was, and all of the students that came rushing in hours before the game. And there were a few Longhorn special teams guys just out going through some early warmups, and the students in unison are chanting, "We hate Texas. We hate Texas." And they had it all choreographed very well, I might add. So it was pretty impressive. And you're right. It's intense when these two get together.
Isn't it amazing how many people come back to the 69 game as being this kind of seminal moment in their childhood that they remember watching? I hear that all the time. I think it goes to show how big of a game that really was.
Yeah, and if you talk with some of the real old timers, you know, they'll take you back to the 64 game, obviously, with the Ken Hatfield punt return and the margin of a missed extra point, the difference in the game, and Arkansas wins 14-13, and they go on and win the national title, and Texas probably would have won the national title had they gone. They didn't lose another game that year, and they beat Alabama, who'd been crowned the national title in the other poll, in the Orange Bowl, when Tommy Nova stopped Joe Namath at the goal line. So there's, you know, everybody has their own touchstone memory of this series and of this rivalry and what it means to the teams and what it means to the programs and what it means to the communities and the fan bases. I think that's what makes it special, and I think that's what's going to make it special when Texas is back in the Southeastern Conference, or when they join the SEC and Texas and Arkansas are back to playing each other on a regular basis. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that again.
Let's talk about that for a minute, the move to the SEC, because I think this is really fascinating from Texas' standpoint, because, you know, kind of historically, I think you would probably say the three biggest Texas rivals throughout the, you know, the duration of its program have been Oklahoma, A&M, and Arkansas, but they've never played all three in the same conference until in, you know, 4 years, maybe a little bit sooner. That's got to be a really interesting dynamic for Texas, because you're always the team that teams are gunning for, but now you're going to be in a conference with three teams that really want to beat you.
Yeah, that is, and that's a great point, that there was always one of the games that was out of conference. Clearly, for years and years, it was Oklahoma when the Sooners were in the Big Eight, and then when Arkansas left for the SEC, then that became a non-conference game when they played them in the early 2000s. So yeah, you're right. It's, it will be different. And I think that adds a little more excitement to it. And feel of both sides of the fan base, the way that Texas OU, Texas, Texas A&M, and Texas Arkansas do. And I think that's what makes it special. A big part of it that so much sweat equity is built into it on the part of the fans about this rivalry and what it means to both sides. And so I think that's what really makes it cool.
Let's talk about this year's Texas team. How do they look different under Steve Sarkisian?
Well, some might say they look more organized when you start off. I mean, they did have a few penalties in that opener against Louisiana, but they were, mistakes that Stark says are correctable, and as he puts it, easily correctable as well. They got solid quarterback play. They had expected a pretty solid play from the defensive front seven. Linebackers, I thought, played really well. Special teams, other than a punt return being called back, that would have gone for a touchdown because of a penalty. Other than that, their special teams played really well. So they seem, put it this way, they seem a lot more buttoned up after one game than over the past several years, not just Tom Herman, but obviously going back to when Charlie Strong was the coach, and maybe even the last year or two under Mack Brown. This team seemed pretty together in the first game of the year.
We've talked about the environment. Hudson Card comes in. He's a redshirt freshman out of that great QB factory at Westlake. How do you think he'll handle the environment Saturday night?
He's different than a lot of the other quarterbacks that have come through at Texas and have come out of that greater Austin area, you know, whether they be at Westlake like Sam Ellinger or in his case like Travis. Those are two adjoining programs, and they've produced a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of great players. He's a real unaffected guy. He's really smart, incredibly intelligent, but he's very, very low key. And he was like that when he played high school football at Lake Travis. He was very, very unaffected by things. If he threw an interception or if something didn't go right, he'd come to the sidelines and, you know, find out what needed to be done to correct it, then go back out there and correct it and do it. So, and he's kind of carried that demeanor on the Texas. So that part's been impressive to see. Now, again, he's a redshirt freshman, and he's going to be making his second collegiate start and his first ever road start. So, somebody asked him the other day, were you nervous? He said, if you're not nervous, then maybe you're in the wrong thing. He said, but you wouldn't have known it to be able to be around him, is what his teammates said. He was pretty collected going in, and it'll be interesting to see how he attacks the moment, how he soaks it all in, but yet does what he's supposed to do, which is to be able to execute what Sark wants him to do offensively.
I got my QB factories mixed up, like Travis and Westlake. Thanks for correcting me there.
They're both
incredible.
Of them.
Incredible how many quarterbacks have come out of that area. I mean, when you think about over the course of the last 20 years or so. Bijan Robinson, how good is he? I mean, it stands out to me that at a school with so many great running backs that he had the single-season record for rushing yards a year ago. I know it was against only Big 12 defenses, but just how good do you think he can be? What's the ceiling for this guy?
Definitely a different, special kind of guy. He's got that real sharp stop on a dime cut ability that you've seen from some guys. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, obviously, turn it upfield, and he's a really good yards after contact guy. He can take that first hit, and it kind of sometimes seems to even straighten him out a little bit to where he can launch into a lot more yardage downfield. So he has some special qualities about him that the Longhorns haven't seen in a while. I mean, Deontay Foreman was a 2,000-yard running back at Texas, but he was much more like Cedric Benson. He was a real plotter and a pounder and would just wear you down. Bijan can do that. He can wear you down a little bit, but and can take some punishment and hand it out a little bit. But he also has that pretty special cutback, cutting ability, and can take off as well. Yeah, he's unique, no question about it.
I think on defense, Craig, there are a few players who stand out to me. Overshawn, the linebacker, Keandre Coburn in the middle, looks like a really good player. What do you think about this team defensively under Pete Kwiatkowski?
Yeah, they've really started to shine, and we saw it last year, how those guys could make an impact, and they've really just picked it up. Those are two guys, you know, and you've been around it long enough. You hear coaches talk about guys who do the buy-in and the ones who accept it and that sort of stuff. And Sark has a really interesting take on it. It's probably not original, but he says that there's levels of buy-in from different guys. There's the ones who are all in right from the start. Whatever you need done, I'm there. And there were guys like Brendan Schooler who made the shift from receiver to safety, who was one of those guys. Luke Brockemeyer, who is a really interesting story, a former walk-on and, of course, the son of the former Longhorn, great offensive lineman. Blake Brockemeyer was a walk-on, earned a scholarship, and then earned the starting job at the middle linebacker spot. Those were the guys that bought in immediately right from the start. And then there's some guys that take a little convincing, and they get there. And then there's some other ones that you kind of have to pull along and see if they are going to ultimately buy it. Well, two of the guys who were there right from the start were Keandre Coburn and DeMarvion Overshown. And they've been leaders on the defense by their actions and by their words. And when you have players that are that good that can also be your leaders, then, you know, that's kind of a dream scenario for head coaches. And I know Sark just loves those guys, can't stop raving about them because they perform at a high level and they deliver the energy and they deliver the leadership that he's looking for.
Craig, I'll get you out of here on this. You do high school football quite a bit in Texas, too. I can still remember your great call from the end of that North Shore Duncanville game in the championship game a few years ago. Arkansas's got a lot of Texans on the roster, and it's always been that case. Anybody that stands out to you that you watched in high school that you're looking forward to seeing again Saturday night in the Razorback?
Well, certainly I got a chance to see Bumper Pool play for Lucas Lovejoy. And he was something else at the high school level, and I expected him to be really good at the college level. I know we don't get to see him for the first half of the game because of the targeting thing, but he's a special guy. You know, it's funny. One guy I called two state championship games he played in, and that's Malik Hornsby. And, of course, he hadn't been able to get on the field yet. I think his time is eventually going to come at quarterback, and I think folks will see that he's pretty special as well. I mean, I call it two state title games that he played in for Fort Bend Marshall, and I always thought that he had some weapons about him and a good quality at quarterback. So I think Razorback fans will be pleased to see him over time really develop.
Greg, we appreciate your time and have a safe trip up to Fayetteville.
My pleasure. Great to be on with you.
Scotty Bordelon is with me now, and Scotty, as we look to Saturday's game, I think the biggest key for Arkansas is going to be how did the players handle their emotions? It's been 5 years, really, since Arkansas has played in front of a full stadium. I know they sold out the TCU game in 2017, but anybody who was there knows that, you know, it wasn't a packed house, not like what we're going to see on Saturday night when Texas comes to town. Really, the last time I can remember a full crowd in Fayetteville was that Ole Miss game in 2016. Ironically, when Joe Tessitore, who's going to be on the call Saturday, you know, he was there, he had that great call. He said, Razorback Stadium is shaking beneath our feet. It's been 5 years since Arkansas has had a home crowd like this. Really, none of the players have experienced it. I know you've got a six-year guy like Grant Morgan who was there, or, you know, who was there at that time, but you know, he wasn't playing. I think it's going to be key how these players are able to play in front of a big crowd, a game where I'm sure emotion is just going to be at an all-time high.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And my frame of reference, you know, I started this job, my first football season was Chad Morris's first year. And, you know, fan attendance wasn't great. And, you know, the product on the field wasn't great. But I think you saw fans buy into what they saw in year one with Sam Pittman. And there's a lot of excitement just about, you know, the direction of the program. And then you bring in an old rival that a lot of people in the state have ill feelings toward, and it's going to make for a great atmosphere. I think it's going to be the best atmosphere that I've seen or I've been, you know, at in person since I was in college. My freshman year was 2011 when I think Arkansas ended up going to the Cotton Bowl and beating Kansas State. I remember the Auburn game that year. I remember camping out twice that year, and I don't know that students have been camping out for games in recent memory. this could be one of those games where you see some tents along stadium.
Yeah, they're already there.
And, yeah, so I mean, it's not surprising. There's a lot of build up for this game, and something interesting that you told me earlier in the week when you talked to Travis Swanson was just the nerves that players are inevitably going to feel for that first snap. You know, he said he almost snapped the ball over 6'7" Ryan Mallett's head on the first snap of the game. You just can't have plays like that. You got to keep this crowd into the game, give them reasons to be loud. I think if Arkansas just, as long as they have to play better than the first half against Rice, if they do that, they're going to keep this crowd entertained. And I think the crowd can probably give Arkansas a little bit of an advantage. And it's one that they haven't had in so, so long.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that the stadium expansion was in 2018 and they haven't come close to filling up the stadium now. And this will be the first time in, you know, this is the fourth season since that expansion. It's the first time that they're even going to come close to filling up the stadium. I know COVID, you know, obviously played a role in that last year. I think they could have for some of those games last season, but it should be the largest attendance ever for a game in Fayetteville. You mentioned Swanson. He told us after the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club on Wednesday here in Fayetteville, the play that he was referencing was the 2010 game against Alabama, when he said the first snap nearly sent it over Ryan Mallett's head. He said it took all 6'7" of Ryan Mallett to go up and bring it down. And of course they scored in two plays, and that was a great sequence for him. But he said, whether it be in college or whether it be in the NFL, when you're playing a big game, he said, you feel it from the moment that you wake up that morning. He said, you feel it at the hotel. You feel it at the, you know, the team breakfast. You feel it on the bus on the way to the stadium. He said, you're feeling it as you're getting your ankles taped before the game. And he said, you know, you have the potential to just be way too amped to play in a game like this. And so he said, you know, the key is going to be for these Razorback players who have never been in this type of situation to control their nerves. One thing that you can say for Texas is that Texas, when they come to town, it's always a big deal. It doesn't matter if they're coming to Fayetteville. It doesn't matter if they're coming to Ames, Iowa. It doesn't matter if they're going to Provo, Utah. Wherever Texas goes, that is a huge game for wherever the home team is. And so these Texas players, maybe with the exception of the ones who are first or second year players who played through the COVID year last year, who haven't been able to play in this type of experience yet, for the most part, the Texas players, they've been in this type of environment. They know how to handle it. And so it'll be interesting to see how that works on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think I don't know that it's apples to apples, but I remember John Calipari saying one time, whenever I take my team somewhere, it's always an event. And I don't know if it's exactly the same way, but at Arkansas, Texas coming to Arkansas, it's going to be an event. And you make a good point about just the nerves, and you know, everybody's going to be feeling it. Like you said, from the moment you wake up, all throughout pregame, you're probably going to have butterflies more so than you ever have. This is the biggest game a lot of these kids have ever played. Like, this is the most meaningful game to date that a lot of these guys have ever played in. And those nerves, I mean, you're going to feel it big time. And that adrenaline rush is going to be major, probably bigger than I've ever felt too. And it might take, you know, it might take getting through that first offensive series, you know, for, you know, a guy like KJ Jefferson to get those butterflies out, those jitters out. And then, you know, you can settle in. And then at that point, you know, maybe you take a couple hits, get a series of plays in. Maybe that's when you settle in and really get locked in.
Some injuries to watch this weekend. Arkansas is going to be without Dorian Gerald. Now they haven't confirmed this, but we've reported, and other outlets have reported, you know, through sources that he suffered a lower leg injury earlier this week in practice. He's expected to miss the rest of the year. John Ridgeway should be back at defensive tackle this week. He missed the Rice game due to an appendectomy. And Traylon Burks has gone through practice all week. He didn't go through practice the entire week leading up to the Rice game. He has gone through practice this week, although I think it's been in a green no-contact jersey. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays on Saturday. I think anybody who watched the game against Rice understands that there was a lot of rust that he was trying to knock off early in that game. The two defensive linemen, though, Scotty, Ridgeway, what we don't know about him is how healthy he is. I mean, he's still less than 2 weeks removed from an appendectomy. You know, how many snaps can he play? And then on Gerald, it's such an interesting deal with him because he was one of the most highly recruited JUCO players the year that he came out and chose Arkansas, but he's never really gotten to play. I mean, I think the game against Rice was just the seventh game that he's played in his career. Two of those seven games were games where he got injured and didn't get to finish the game. We just have never really seen him as part of this defense. So it's hard to say what Arkansas is missing with him being out, just because we've never really seen him in a game for very long.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, you really feel for that kid because he's got the worst injury luck of a Razorback that I've seen. And he's, you know, in the 2019 season opener, he has the neck injury that really, really caused a scare. And the next year against Georgia season opener, I think he had a leg injury or an ankle injury. And then, you know, he misses some time. He comes back, but he's clearly not himself. And then he can't get to week two this year. And you really feel for him. And, you know, when we were able to see Arkansas do a little bit of team stuff in preseason camp, he was, you know, pretty regularly, he was, you know, one of the guys on the ends, and he's one of those guys that stands up on the edge. I think he's got a good body for this league. He's just been so injury prone. It kind of makes you sick that, you know, for Dorian, I think he's a good hearted kid. Cause I remember asking him in camp, I was like, man, you've just been snake bitten with injuries. Like, how did you stay up? How did you stay positive mentally? And he said he leaned on his teammates and his coaches, the training staff. He's been with the training staff a lot, so he can, you know, bend those people's ears too. And they've helped keep his spirits high, kept a smile on his face. Cause a lesser man would have quit maybe after that first injury against Portland State. But the depth, I think it's good that you're getting John Ridgeway back. And I know Ridgeway's got an adjustment to make coming from the FCS level, where he said, you know, he could get away with his technique being a little bit subpar just because he's a strong, large human being. Like, he could just move people out of the way. And, you know, I don't know if he could go into games without that technique being refined and he could still produce. You're not going to be able to do that in this league, and you got to play with good leverage. Getting to know John the last couple of weeks, talking to his parents, he's a super, super colorful personality. Sam Pittman said he's been a really good addition on and off the field for the program. I think he's a real program fit, you know, not just a D-line fit, because you want to create more havoc plays in the backfield, get a more consistent pass rush under Barry Odom in his second year. But he's a blue-collar guy, kind of rough around the edges, but down to earth. And I think him and Sam Pittman kind of see eye to eye. Like, they've got, you know, kind of similar pillars that they're kind of founded on. So that Ridgeway, I think, can make a big impact. But like you said, I don't know how high his snap count's going to be, because I can't imagine he's going to play like 50 plus snaps, you know, a couple weeks after an appendectomy. That just seems a little bit extreme to me, but I think he can make an impact.
Let's talk real quick about the matchups this weekend. First, the Arkansas offense against the Texas defense. Pete Kwiatkowski is the defensive coordinator at Texas, came over from Washington. He was kind of the architect of that really great Washington defense when they were in the college football playoff 5 or 6 years ago. He'd been with Chris Peterson at Boise State before that. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's put together some really good defenses. For Arkansas, though, how do you think they'll respond to last week? Because they did not look very good in the first half against Rice, really didn't look good until about midway through the third quarter after they had gotten down by 10 points. Scotty, to me, I think you might see some more called quarterback runs early in this game. I thought it was interesting to hear Sam Pittman say earlier in the week that he thinks KJ Jefferson becomes a better passer after he's got some runs under his belt. How do you think they match up with this Texas defense that is really good against the run? And that was the one area that I thought was Arkansas' saving grace against Rice last week.
I think you've got to rely a little bit more on the quarterback run. KJ Jefferson, according to the Pro Football Focus numbers that we're privy to, he had a really good week, you know, in the designed runs that he had, and then just the reads that he made. I think he was the second highest rated quarterback in the country in terms of his run grade. So that's really good. You got to utilize that, man. I mean, and he's a weapon. He's a load to bring down, and he can deliver a little bit of punishment too. You don't want him to, you know, maybe do too much of that to risk injury and, you know, bring a redshirt freshman in Malik Hornsby in this environment. I don't think that would be necessarily ideal. But I just don't think you're just going to be able to run it down Texas's throat. Like, you just got to make them run sideline to sideline and utilize all the weapons. Like Traylon Smith, he's going to have to run more north than south than he did last week. Texas has some guys that can run him down. Up front, Texas is huge. Like, they got 346-pound nose tackle, Keandre Coburn and Tavondre Sweat. He's 335. Those are mountains of men, you know, right over the ball. Linebackers, you got some good DeMarvion Overshown. He had 13 tackles in week one against Louisiana. You know, I think he's a guy that Sam Pittman said earlier this week. He likes to run downhill and hit guys and try to steal gaps before running backs can get there. And in the secondary, they're pretty veteran. I think they got five seniors in that secondary. So you need guys to step up big time. But I think you're right. KJ Jefferson, the weapon that he is with his feet, you've got to, I think, try to run him a little more, be smart about it. But I think they're going to throw some new wrinkles at Texas that obviously you're not going to show against Rice.
And then defensively, I feel like for Arkansas, the key is all about stopping Bijan Robinson, the great sophomore Texas running back. Really interesting. I mean, you look at him last year, he set the Texas single season record for yards per carry. And you're talking about, this is a program who's had Earl Campbell and they had Ricky Williams. I mean, to set that kind of record, I think really opened some eyes out of the type of player that he is. I feel like for Arkansas, it's going to be all about stopping him and seeing whether or not Hudson Card, the freshman quarterback, can beat them over the top.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, Bijan Robinson has, you know, he's kind of been a topic on at least some message boards where Arkansas fans and Texas fans are getting into it about, would you rather have Bijan Robinson or would you rather have Treylon Burks? And Texas fans are like, oh, I want our guy. And then Arkansas fans are like, oh, I want our guy. I mean, they're two really special players, but Arkansas is really going to have to try to contain him, because if not, it could be a really long night. But I think this is where, even though you're losing Dorian Gerald, you are getting your biggest defensive lineman back. He may not be 100%, but he's very tough to move, I would imagine. Up front, very physical, Ridgeway is, and likes the kind of the combative nature of the play up front. And then I think also, you know, look at Pro Football Focus and Jordan Whittington at receiver. I think he was the number one or number two overall grade at receiver in the country last week. So he went for 713 yards and a touchdown, 6'1", 203. So he's not a slender body. So curious how he matches up size wise with either Monteric. I imagine Monteric Brown's going to be on him, you know, especially after last week with Ladarius Bishop letting a not as good as Jordan Whittington type receiver get past. That's going to be a matchup to watch too, because Monteric Brown cannot let that kid loose. And just kind of let him be a safety valve for Hudson Card if the run game's not working.
And then special teams. I mean, that was kind of the bugaboo for Arkansas last week. Again, having the punt blocked or Reed Bowers punt blocked led to a Rice field goal early in that game. That one mishap is something that people really focus on. And it's going to be interesting this weekend, because Texas has got a really good kicker in Cameron Dicker. They've got a strong punter. Dicker has actually been their punter, but they've also got two all Big 12 type punters, and they've got a guy returning kicks and punts who's been very good for them in the past as well. Special teams feels like that's in a game that we kind of feel like could be really close. It feels like special teams could maybe swing it, you know, one way or the other.
I think you're right. And, you know, it wasn't just that Arkansas got a punt blocked last week. It was that there was also a 25-yard punt. And then on the opening kickoff of the game, Ladarius Bishop fumbles. And I think there were a couple other penalties, maybe one on Keetron Jackson for maybe a block in the back. I think, though, there was a sneaky important play or sneaky important sequence in the game last week was Cameron Little just kind of casually walked down on the field, kicked between a 30 and 40 yard field goal to tie the game and sent the game into the fourth quarter tied. He's probably going to be called on in this game to make a pressure kick. He's got to be consistent. I mean, that it's a lot to ask of a freshman, but I think he was the clear cut guy in camp who kind of showed that, you know, he was more consistent than anybody else. Going back to Arkansas's punting, you know, I think clearly after week one, you're not settled on a guy. And so there's a bit of a battle there, Sam Pittman said, with Reed Bauer and Sam Loy. So we may not know who's, you know, going to be punting for Arkansas, you know, until maybe he runs out on the field. Bauer, I think, had an okay camp. Loy missed some time with an undisclosed injury. But maybe you do give Sam Loy, you know, a chance instead of, you know, maybe Reed Bauer out there and throwing another or kicking another 25-yard kick that, you know, Arkansas's defense might not be able to hold up, you know, in short yardage or in short fields as much as they did against Rice. So you just got to eliminate that kind of thing too.
Deshaun Jameson is the Texas return man, 2 kickoff returns and 1 punt return for touchdowns during his career. 100-yard kickoff return last year against Oklahoma State, the 98-yarder against Rice a couple of years ago, had a 90-yard punt return against K-State in 2018. So a very capable return man for Texas. All right, usually at the end of our podcast, we'll go through the biggest games of the week. There's really not any big games that I think is going to that I think are going to interest our listeners, because this is the biggest game of the week in the SEC. You've got SEC Nation here from SEC Network. I think that's pretty telling. Also, the Fox Big Noon kickoff, they're going to send Clay Travis here to Fayetteville for some live hits before the game on that show. So we're not going to run through it. I mean, you know, the biggest games of the week are BYU, Utah, Iowa State, Ohio State, Oregon. I don't know that people want to hear us pick those. So we'll go straight into Arkansas, Texas. Scotty, throughout the preseason, I thought that there was a really good chance that Arkansas could win this game because you've got a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, new coaching staff at Texas, a freshman quarterback coming into a hostile environment that he hasn't faced before. I thought Arkansas had a pretty good chance of winning this game, and I still do, but my pick is based on week one, and I thought Texas looked like a lot better football team in week one. And so I think Texas is going to win this game. But I would not be surprised at all if Arkansas was able to pull off the upset. And I don't even know that it would be, you know, that big of an upset. Yes, from the, you know, the standpoint that Texas is number 15, Arkansas is not ranked. They haven't had a win over a ranked team and other than Mississippi State last year and however long. But I think Texas looked like the better team last week. And so I think Texas will win. But like I said, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Arkansas was able to win, because like they say, you make the most improvement as a team between game one and game two.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. And I'm just going to stick with my prediction I made for Hogs Illustrated. I had Texas 28-20. And it's just, you know, like you said, a team can make its greatest improvements between week one and week two. And I think that could be the case with KJ Jefferson, too. He's facing a really good defense. And we still don't know if like Treylon Burks is 100%. We know he's been practicing, which helps him, you know, get more ready for a game than he was last week. And just so uncharacteristic of him last week to drop 2 passes. He dropped 1 behind the line of scrimmage. That was kind of like a glorified pitch. And it's just wasn't really him, but I've got a little bit of a concern just about the passing game. KJ's accuracy and his precision, and then guys that he can get the ball to. You know, this week we saw Trey Knox move over to tight end. I know he's going to be kind of doubling up at both positions, but he didn't see the field last week. And Arkansas really kind of relied on, was it Treylon Burks, Davion Warren, and then I think Warren Thompson got in there for a little bit, Jaqueline Crawford too, but none of those guys like made like a really big impact. I think Keetron Jackson, based on, you know, the way that he played last week, the physicality showed in run blocking, I think that could get him on the field for a few more snaps this week. Tyson Morris, I think he's going to have to step up again and make some big plays to alleviate a little bit of pressure off the top two guys. But the concerns for me with the passing game, and then until special teams gets it figured out, I'm not going to have much confidence, you know, maybe outside of Cam Little on special teams. So I think that's what gives Texas the upper hand for me.
KJ Jefferson and Hudson Card, neither of them have really proven themselves in a big game yet. I know Louisiana Lafayette was somewhat of a big game, but nothing like this game on Saturday night. If you go to wholehogsports.com, we're going to have plenty of coverage from the Arkansas-Texas game. Everything that you've come to expect from us on a Saturday morning before a game, it'll be there tomorrow morning. Also, Bob Holt's got a great look back at the 40-year anniversary of Arkansas's 42-11 win over number one Texas in Fayetteville. For Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones, and we will see you next week recapping the Texas game.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.